8, 6, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Radio Art Hour, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wavefarm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Created specifically for terrestrial AM/FM broadcast, whether it be by commercial, public, community, or independent transmission. Come on a journey with us as radio artists explore broadcast radio space through poetic resuscitations and playful celebrations, subversions of the complex relationship between senders and receivers in this hour of radio about radio. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the Radio Art Hour and Wavefarm's Radio Art Archives.
I'm Tom Rowe at the Wave Farm in New York, and today on the Radio Art Hour, we're going to hear two New York City-based radio artists introduced by Karen Warner. We're going to hear from Susan Stone, who worked at WBAI, and Tony Schwartz, who worked at WNYC. But let's let Karen Warner tell the story on the Radio Art Hour.
This is Karen Warner, and I'm happy to present a radio artwork that is not widely available. This piece is called House with a View, and was created by American radio artist Susan Stone, who has kindly contributed the piece to the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive. Susan Stone had her start in radio at WBAI in New York City in 1979, where she produced a radio show called Radio Schizophonia with fellow radio producer Gregory Whitehead. She was involved for many years with Pacifica Radio's KPFA FM in Berkeley, California, as well. Susan Stone wrote to me about the process of creating House with a View, which was inspired by her short radio piece called Couch, which is also included in the Wavefarm Radio Art Archive. You can actually hear clips of Couch and another of her shorts, Longue Étude, woven into the longer piece, House with a View. Stone writes, "I wanted to play with the sonic construct of moving through rooms, sounding out what might have transpired within each one. At the time, the tech play was setting up long acetate tape loops threaded through standing audio tape decks, the tape crisscrossing my studio like a cat's cradle. This created a choral outcome through the chance operations of phrasing. How one voice became many with timing variations, one sentence at a time." House with a View, produced in 1985 by Susan Stone, is 36 minutes long.
Has it been?
How nice to see you.
How you have grown.
How long has it been?
How old are you now?
How's your mother?
You're going to get home now to see your family.
House
with a view.
After coming through the front door, to the right is a large circular foyer with green and white trellis wallpaper going up to the second story.
If you turn left, you will enter the radiant heap closet that has a picture of a claw-like gargoyle. And once, when I was 5, it spit at me.
There's my father! Finally! Oh, there's my grandmother! There she is, bless her heart. That's the front of the house! That's our house! I guess not. I don't know. I'd have to see a lot of shots.
And there were lots of leaks in it, and each one would form an icicle, which would grow and grow and grow, and it was beautiful.
It's not a house. It's a cottage. It has 2 doors. You enter through one, and you can go out through the other. If you don't feel totally at home, you can walk out through the other.
And further back is the darkest room in the house. It's very dark and very secretive, and lots of things have happened in there that nobody wants to talk about. It's a very quiet house.
Of course, it's old and getting kind of rotted. Some of the people here didn't seem to have any, well, just only about 2 of them didn't have any sentimental feelings, and they were going to have it torn down because it was so dangerous. And so they're repairing it a little now, you know. One of the legs was rotted pretty bad, but, well, every time you look, it looks different. And you can see all kinds of crazy things. The mirages are beautiful.
The house is set back from the highway. When I'm alone in the house, I feel exposed. Maybe because of the windows and as if people could be hiding out. It's a kind of beautiful but ominous place when I'm there alone. The living room is a little dark. I fill it with music. I like to turn the volume way up so I can hear the resonance of the voices, especially the sopranos. There's nothing like a room filled with the human voice and the instruments accompanying that voice. I love to listen to opera.
The first connection she makes is molecular. By that I mean the molecules collect and arrange themselves as memory. By that I do not mean to emphasize the fact of her knowing several languages, nor the ease with which she recalls dreams, nor the relationship the one has to the other. By this I mean I wish she would let go of the particular molecular structure which makes her memory, specifically when she is making her connections. Memory has nothing whatever to do with meeting people. She can remember a name, a profession, an incident, but what has this to do with herself? She could use her eyes instead, for instance. She could swipe her breasts, brush their cat's paw, grazing the shark's flanks of them at the neck of any old his's head. She might plie in trousers which fit too closely at the crotch and be less table salt and more dust jacketless.
Once Declara starts thinking this way, she should instinctively start to look for ways and means of overcoming this possibility. Accordingly, South should attempt to arrange an elimination play that will assure a favorable outcome regardless of how the club honors are divided.
She does not have to deflect, but that she chooses to. By this I mean she confuses deflection with passivity. By this I do not mean to imply a certain dullness on her part, but that she is necessarily desiring. She is a coat hanger, serving efficiency and ordering style. She has a patience of the glacier. By this I mean nothing of the glass slipper. By that I do not mean to imply she has no grace. She has mutation of sport. She has the gift of glaciation, I say. That is, the motion of geography. She might sexlessly circumnavigate the poles in a whale corset. She might play her ace and get bottom-laden with the coxswain. By these I mean her facts have shed their fictions, have shed their truths, are depleted of the mirror image of her cloudy salmon skin.
You didn't have the Queen of Spades.
There's another little room.
If you turn left, you aren't supposed to talk about it, but you do. I mean, you do if you find the right person to talk to ask you if it hurt or if you were alone or if you wish you hadn't. That's when you talk. When you say you had to, that's when you hear yourself being sure. Then you know you had to. When someone asks you, but you weren't always sure, rolling around, not caring then, but knowing then. No one asking then. You weren't supposed to talk about it. Points of light above later, but not before when it was dark and no one said you had to. You weren't supposed to talk about it, but you do. I mean, but no talk then. Now you talk. Now someone asks you.
You weren't supposed to talk about it.
That's when you talk, but you say you had to. To ask you if it hurt or if you were alone or if you wish you hadn't. But when it was dark and no one said you had to, then you did. But no talk then. Now you talk. Some kind of bad thing that came up without talking that wasn't asked for.
Supposed to talk about it, can't you do it?
I mean, you do if you find the right person to talk to.
Ask you.
I mean, you do if you find the right person to talk to. Asked about now. You aren't supposed to talk about it, but you do. I mean, you do if you find the right person to talk to.
I mean, you do if you find the right person to talk to. To ask about it now.
You aren't supposed to talk about it.
That's when you talk,
but you say you haven't. Suppose now they ask. Now you talk.
Walking down this hall, it's just slightly dark.
And if I turn to the right... This is my bedroom. This is where I grew up.
Further back is the darkest room in the house. It's very dark and very secretive, and lots of things have happened in there that nobody wants to talk about.
find the little casket, and they laid it away. The baby passed away, and Martin took her wedding dress, and she passed they laid it away. We had the funeral service, and it was an impressive service. I'll never forget it.
Tuck you in. You in? You comfy? Don't talk anymore. It's time to go to sleep. Because it's almost 10 o'clock now, and I have things I have to do. Settle down. Settle down. Go to sleep. You know, you're tired.
Good night.
The rhino's skin is thick and tough, yet the skin is soft enough that big rhinos always sense a love enormous and intense. Their mother may be short on arms, her skin is full of warmth and charms. A mother's touch on baby's skin endears the heart that beats within. To baby vipers, scaly skin engenders love twixt kith and kin. Each animal by God is blessed with the kind of skin it loves the best.
Tuck you in. You in? You comfy?
At the end of the hall is my room.
When you come to my sister's room, you walk in the door. It's painted a light blue color, kind of an afternoon sun. and sky color.
This is my bedroom. This is where I grew up. He thinks I can't remember anything. He told me I was like an animal because I couldn't remember everything, or the things he wanted me to. What I did on such and such a day, who said what in what conversation. Elephants know where to go when they die. Led there by memory, but he said that's an instinct. And he started getting on my nerves as if he were living inside me like a bad memory.
She leans on one elbow, wearing only her underwear because she has no reason yet to get dressed. The twin hollows at her neck are incredibly deep.
When I look at my body, when I look into the mirror, I want to remember as if my body were a map. I'd like to talk about it with you, but it's not there, not as words. I'd like to talk about it with you, but it's vanished, or maybe it's banished.
The triangular shadow under the cheekbone is long and lean. The ivory fingers of one hand repeatedly squeeze the bulb of an empty perfume atomizer.
See that frozen little girl in the photograph? Where is she now? Inside me? Or is she inside me? Do we grow up and keep our insides intact? The same insides, are they the same insides? Doesn't our blood change, and don't we shed our skins like snakes?
The lips just parted. The straight nose, a darkened eye.
He says I'm unscientific, but my version of science is about this kind of swamp.
She has her fingers pressed to her nose and the smell of her hands, breathing deeper, longer. A suggestion of his back in bed, her body under the covers.
I asked him, if I were an amnesiac, what would exist apart from this surface? Who would be speaking? I told him that I remembered everything that was important, because it was a matter of survival. That in a way, this past is almost indifferent to my recollection of it. He said I was so full of contradictions that it was impossible to discuss anything with me. Which is generally when we decide to make love. While we were making love, I whispered to him that sex with him awakened a memory in my brain. Something that was dead. He held me very tight and couldn't control himself anymore. I like him best when he's out of control.
Now I want you to try it. Smell your fingers, the palms of your hands. Rub them all over yourself, all over yourself. What is it? What is the source of it?
Then there's a little hall and a little bathroom. It has spiders in it.
Evaluation and analysis. Answer the following questions as accurately as possible. So, do you have any confidence? Begin here.
Gigi.
Do you have any?
Age. 26. Height, 5'7". Weight, 107 pounds. Wrists, 6 inches. Thighs, 17 inches. Cranium, 22.5 inches. Years since last menstrual period, 5. I learned to pretend in just the right way for men. Either I pretended I didn't want it, or I pretended I did want it, but in just the right way. I know now that supreme beauty is indistinguishable from supreme good. If my lipstick is just right, I won't expand to an infinite size. I am making personal history.
Suppose one of your hands is in your lap and the other on the arm of your chair. The speaker is directing his remarks to others, ignoring you. Listen for the name of a familiar place or person in the speaker's talk. Move your hands from one position to another as though a chord of your mind had been struck. He mentions Quebec. You lean forward responsively and put your other hand up on the arm of the chair. He will probably glance at you. Then, if you move your hands to still another position as though you were very responsive to any mention of Quebec, he will very likely turn to you with a side remark of intimacy about the city. After this bond is established, he will look to you for approval in any extravagant remarks he may make. Yawn. Hold open your throat and repeat the word mood very distinctly 3 times, pitched as low as you can, without growling or producing a false tone. Imagine that the sound comes from your chest. Now, with your throat in the same position, repeat the word ice 3 times. Take the word love and say it until the meaning of it trembles in your voice. Let your face reflect what you have put into your voice. Then, move your hands less and less in response to what he says. But give him your enthusiastic response once again, briefly, before you leave. Then, in that manner, say, good morning. How interesting. Do come again.
I look at myself in the mirror, just to make sure that I'm there. Even if it's clean, it's always hazy. And I have the hardest time distinguishing the clarity of my face in the mirror. I don't know if it's in the mirror or in the light or if that's just my face.
Around her and wonders why about everything and runs around the track, cools down, cools off. All by herself, her friends drag her away from herself limb by limb. She is too much, too intense, too loud, too all at once. And she loves this boy, this dog, this one with ripped clothes and torn shoes. She who dresses all the time, makeup all the time, hair dyed all the time. Once he said to her, I know all these women who dress and wear makeup. And really, I like things simple. I like to see a woman's face. I like her hair flying around. I love Virginia and I want kids and front steps and stories and forever. Screech! She barely formulates words. No kids, no romance, no forevers anymore. She's screeching all over the street. All over. She's all over. Standing in front of him, he can actually see 15 auras flying in 32 directions, taking up way too much room. He lets her be. The dog waits patiently by the curb. I wrote a few lines of my story today, he says, and I swam at the Y. This old man in a wheelchair spoke to me and said, I've watched you. I know you're a good swimmer. And I wonder if it's a sign. I wonder if I'm supposed to do a piece in the water. You know, I don't live by those things, but they're interesting. I got a residency by the lake, and I think I'll swim every day and make a peace because that old man spoke. Now listen close. This is my information, misinformation, or not to you.
She scratches her chin. She turns to the left. She turns around. She looks down. Opens her mouth.
The girl spell lips point out toward the light of the window, divided into 12s.
She touches her cheek. She bends her neck.
Look out the window and see all across the neighboring
the bathroom. She whispers her name.
It's cool and blue and tall.
The first door is an ordinary door, but it's not really.
She holds
an
her breath.
Door.
She picks at her teeth.
Cut the pulp. Cut. So that it's loosened.
She opens her eyes.
The kitchen smell shut up too long. And her standing
she
there.
She smooths her hair.
Legs curved under thin cloth. clicking my nails on the counter.
That's the front of the house. That's our house.
She points her finger.
That's Harry. My God, and that's Patrick Henry. The dog on the bottom is Patrick Henry. He's a
she clenches her fist.
The one on the top is Char. That's my dog.
She closes her eyes.
You know, the longer you stay, the longer it grows on you. And people say, oh, if I get away from that place, I'll never go back. Every one of them comes back.
House with a View. Constructed by Susan Stone. Produced in collaboration with Gregory Whitehead. Furnishings provided by Jerry Allen, Letizia de Compiègne, Sheila Davies, Michael Johnson, Joan LaBarbera, Lottie Lieb, Freddie Long, Halcyon Oldham, Cindy Ruskin, Polly Stone, Susan Stone, Melody Sumner, Lynn Tillman, Vladimir Tupie, and Gregory Whitehead. House with a View. Produced by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting through National Public Radio's Satellite Program Development Fund.
Shantakaram Bhujagashayanam Padmanabham Suresham.
You just listened to House with a View by American radio artist Susan Stone. For more information about Susan Stone and many other wonderful radio artists, please visit the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org. The radio pieces you're about to hear from the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive were created by Tony Schwartz. For over 30 years, Tony Schwartz produced weekly radio programs about sound for the New York City public radio station, WNYC. Schwartz also created records for Smithsonian Folkways that feature his distinct style, described as part anthropological study, part hometown travelogue. Schwartz developed a portable tape recording setup in the 1950s, which enabled him to collect sounds outside the studio. So he did recordings in the streets of New York and also in his home. He edits and presents his pieces in a very distinct way. Plus, Tony Schwartz is very likable. A tenderness, humor, curiosity, and intimacy come through in his pieces. A poignant detail is that he was agoraphobic and rarely traveled outside his New York City neighborhood. His recordings create an expansive sonic world. The first of these three pieces by Tony Schwartz is called Favorite Sounds and was recorded at the Jewish Guild for the Blind in New York City in 1963. The second features the voices of New York City teenagers and is called How We Remember, produced in 1970. And the third piece in this selection of works by Tony Schwartz is about the pleasures of sound and is called Music in Marble Halls from 1962.
Good morning, Tom. The other evening, I was invited to the New York Guild for the Jewish Blind to present sound and sound stories to a number of elderly people. And as part of the evening, I recorded these people telling their names and their favorite sound or their most beautiful sound that they could think of.
My name is Morris Feldman.
And what is your favorite sound?
Classical music.
My name is Frieda London.
And what's your
What I'd like to say is that sounds and voices mean a very, very much to blind people. Mm-hmm. And almost tell the character of a person.
My name is Alex Rothman. My beautiful sound would be nice music.
Marguerite Thomas. The sound I love is music.
My name is Victor Light. One of my favorite sounds is the voice of my father and mother.
My name is Leah Behar, and I love the sound of the whistling of the birds in the morning.
My name is Margaret Doherty. I like the sound of music, all kinds of music.
The sound of activity, of day's activity coming to a quiet end.
My name is Bill Sheeter. My favorite sound is music.
My name is Jimmy Palizzi, and I like the sound of church bells.
My name is Sophie McConaughey.
Yes.
I love the sound of children playing mm-hmm. and of music.
My name is Anna Rabinovich, and I like the birds. Just very, very much I like the birds.
Hello, my name is Tilly Temsky. My favorite is to be in the chorus. That is my best fish to be.
My name is Julia Twyman. I like the sound of church bells chiming.
I like the sound of children laughing and telling jokes.
My name is Mary Schmidt, and I think running water is the nicest sound that I know. A brook.
My favorite sound is the clinking, the feel of dollar bills. The bigger the denomination, the better the sound.
Well, I think this last gentleman was just kidding us. I think, in fact, he had written a beautiful poem about the sound of, I believe it was his mother's voice. I think that on your program you play a lot of the music that these people love, but I thought this morning I might just play a few sounds that they spoke of just to listen to and to enjoy. The first sound is the sound of a country brook. And the next one is for those listeners who like the birds in the morning. And the last one this morning is the sound of the church bells that many people love, and there are a lot of them in our city, and they go like this. Well, I hope some of our blind friends enjoyed those sounds, and this is Tony Schwartz saying, see you soon, Tom. Good morning. Here's a story I recorded the other day that a young teenager told me.
I got up early this morning, put on my polka-dotted tie and jacket, had breakfast, rode to Dalton.
And here's another one that another teenager told me.
After putting on my blue and gray spotted tie,
I took my black bicycle downstairs and hopped on it and rode two blocks down to the 86th Street crosstown, and then rode across the transfers where I almost was run over by a bus, an 18 crosstown bus. And then I got to school and I went up the elevator. I shouldn't have done.
Any resemblance between the two? Well, there's an interesting story behind this story, or these stories. And the story is this, that it's the same story as passed on through 13 teenagers. And here's the whole process exactly as it happened.
After putting on my blue-winged, gray-spotted tie, I took my black bicycle downstairs and hopped on it and rode two blocks down to the 86th Street crosstown, and then rode across the transfers where I almost was run over by a bus, an 18 crosstown bus. And then I got to school and I went up the elevator. I shouldn't have done.
When I got up this morning to put on my blue and gray polka dot tie, went downstairs and jumped on my bike and went two blocks down to 86th Street crosstown. I swear I was almost hit by a 18 crosstown bus. And then I got to school and took the elevator upstairs, which I shouldn't have done.
I got up this morning and I put on my blue and white polka dotted shirt and my blue and white polka dotted tie, and I went downstairs and I got on my bicycle and I rode down to 86th Street, and I went into my school and I went up and I went upstairs and I took the elevator, which I shouldn't have.
I woke up this morning and I put on my blue and white polka dotted shirt and my blue and white polka dotted tie, and I went downstairs and I ate my breakfast, and I went out and got my bicycle and bicycled up to 86th Street, and I went into the school and took the elevator when I shouldn't have.
I woke up at 6:30 this morning. I put on my white and blue polka dotted shirt and my white and blue polka dotted tie, and I had breakfast, and I got my bicycle, and I went uptown to 86th Street, and I went to school, and I took the elevator when I shouldn't have.
I woke up at 6:30 this morning, and I put on my white and blue polka dotted shirt and my white and blue polka dotted tie, and I had my breakfast, and then I got my bicycle, and I went to school, and I went up to 86th Street. Then I went to school, and I took the elevator when I shouldn't have.
I woke up this morning about 6:30, and I put on my polka dot tie and my polka dot shirt, and I had breakfast, and I got my bicycle, and I went to school, and at 86th Street, and I took the elevator upstairs, and I shouldn't have.
I got up at 6:30, and I put on my polka dotted tie and my polka dotted shirt, and then I ate breakfast, and I got my bike, and I rode to school on 86th Street, and then I went to school, and I shouldn't have.
I got up at 8:30, and I got my breakfast, and I put on my polka dotted tie and my polka dotted shirt, and then I got on my bike, and I went to school on 89th Street, and when I shouldn't have.
I got up early this morning, and I got out of bed, and I put on my polka dotted tie and my shirt and jacket, and I had breakfast, and I rode my bike to school on 89th Street where I shouldn't have.
I got up early this morning, and I put on my shirt, and I put on my polka dotted tie and my jacket, and I went in and I had breakfast, and then I went to school, and I rode my bike down 89th Street where I shouldn't have.
I got up early this morning, and I put on my polka dotted tie and my shirt and my jacket, and had breakfast, and rode my bike down 89th Street where I shouldn't have. I got up early this morning, put on my polka dotted tie and jacket, had breakfast, rode to Dalton.
Well, that's how stories, rumors, folklore, or history can be passed on. It's something to think about. See you soon. Have you ever heard railroad train wheels rolling along the rails, clickety-clack, clickety-clack, and thought how musical they sound, and that a musician could play beautiful music to the rhythm of these wheels? Well, recently I had the privilege of being able to take our country's top jazz clarinetist out into real-life situations and have him improvise against the sounds in these situations. The clarinetist is Mr. Jimmy Giuffre, and here is Mr. Giuffre playing against the rhythm of dripping water in the kitchen sink. A comment from Mr. Giuffre tells how he feels playing in this manner.
Well, it was a natural thrill to play music into natural sounds. The sounds of the city they have a thrill to them, an excitement that is very different from playing in a concert hall or a nightclub and just playing music to combine with the sounds around you is a very unusual experience.
Have you ever shouted from a hilltop and heard your echo? Or have you ever traveled through a tunnel and blown your automobile horn as you drove? The effects of different acoustics are interesting. Well, I wanted to record Mr. Giuffre in situations that would affect the sound of his clarinet in an unusual manner. Here, Mr. Giuffre walks the length of a large marble-lined hall, and as he walks, he plays his clarinet. Mr. Giuffre's comment about this experience.
Well, that felt the best because my own particular physical needs when I play have always leaned towards deep resonance, halls that had a lot of echo to them. And I play much better under those conditions. I have a difficult time in what you'd call a dry acoustics outside or in a flat place that's well padded. I like to hear the sound come back to me. So that was really a thrill in that enormous hall.
I'd like to end our adventures in sound with our experiment's most beautiful product. Here, in a huge mid-Manhattan office skyscraper lobby, Mr. Giuffre plays against the sound of footsteps.
Thank you. You just listened to three short pieces by American radio artist Tony Schwartz. The pieces in order were Favorite Sounds, How We Remember, and The Music in Marble Halls with its famous duet for clarinet and high heels. For more information about Tony Schwartz and links to many more pieces by him, and to learn more about other wonderful radio artists, please visit the Wavefarm Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org.
That was the Radio Art Hour, mostly put together from the work of Wavefarm Radio Art Fellow Karen Werner. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the radio art you heard featured on the Radio Art Hour.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farm's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.